Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show, where ordinary heroes tell extraordinary stories during unique and never been heard before conversations with your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Hillary's unique listening and way of asking questions results in conversations that aren't usually talked about, so you can create the life that you really want but are afraid you can't really have. We are demonstrating the greatness in the human spirit and creating a world where we all reclaim our birthright of joy, happiness, purpose, and passion. Now, here's your host, Hillary Arno Burns. Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. And today we have a very special guest. Her name is Marilyn Fleming. She is a realtor, a Tai Chi practitioner who came to it by accident. And she's going to tell us all about that right now. Welcome, Marilyn.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm so excited. I can't wait to share with your audience.
Good. And Marilyn and I had crossed paths, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 years ago, and we reconnected, and I said, oh my God, you got to tell your story. So here she is. So, all right, let's see. I know you, just by way of background, she grew up in London and came to New York City when she was in her 20s, right? I'm just looking at my notes here. Tell me if I miss anything. And she was staying with her aunt, so she didn't come by herself, but that was very brave. And what else about that? You studied film and you're doing real estate.
Well, I've written a book that I'm looking for an agent for. So just any agents out there, give me a call.
Okay, good. And what's the book about?
Yeah, the book is a historical fiction novel based on the story of my grandmother, who was a child bride who was sent from Kashmir to Jamaica. And she was a bit of a witch. So the story is like a magical story about how a child bride creates her freedom in 1897 when women are owned and shackled. So the story is about that and the friends she makes.
Ooh. Ooh, I can't wait to read it. Cool. We'll have to have you back when you publish it.
Can't wait.
Yes. All right. So there you are in New York. Let's see. Was there anything else from your childhood that you want to talk about, or you want to go right into the story, or you want to show the video?
Yeah, I'll show the video right now. And it's just a video of my teacher and myself doing Tai Chi. It looks like ancient China, but it's the park. My friend took it, so it's not great. And another short video of the group of diverse people, different ages, different races, different cultures. We have like 4 professors from Slovenia, Colombia, Venezuela, Lebanon, and Israel who come. And they're all professors who sort of gravitated to it. And all sorts of people. So it's really an exciting experience, even though you don't talk through the whole experience. So it's connectedness without speaking.
And this was filmed based
in Brooklyn, right? Fort Greene Park, which is the oldest park in Brooklyn and was created by the same architects and landscapers as the ones who did Central Park and Prospect Park, Holm, and the other guy.
Okay. All right, cool. So we're going to show the video and we'll be right back. Well, that was awesome. Yay. All right. So do you want to
Do you want to talk about the video or do you want to tell them how you came upon?
I think I'll tell them how I came upon the Tai Chi. So
okay.
I've been noticing over my life, and people have told me that I am quite angry and sarcastic and witty. Now, they were always being charming because in an English accent, you can do that and get away with it. But if you were an American, it would be something that you would feel really uncomfortable about. And I wasn't present to that. That was just who I was. And I was a runner athletically, and I would run half marathons, run around the park, Fort Greene Park every day for 3 to 6 miles. And I was like really pumped up and ego. I'd run past people and I was so excited to pass them by. I went on a conference with my partner and my sister to Las Vegas. And I always get into a tizzy when I travel. And I wasn't aware that I got into a tizzy when I traveled. Anyway, this was a tizzy where my partner wanted to change the hotel room again, which isn't unusual. And I should have gotten used to it by now, but I wasn't used to it. So I got annoyed. I'm in the room having an argument. And with my athletic self, with my really nice sneakers on, I kick the bed, which happens to have a steel base, and break my toe, my big toe, immediately. I roll over and hold it like, oh, my God, Marilyn, what have you done? And there's a moment, I think, in one's life. Well, there was a moment certainly in my life where I realized that you're doing damage to yourself. This attitude, you've broken yourself. And not only have you broken yourself, you've broken the part of yourself that makes you feel the best. Now you can't even run. So who are you? What are you? So it threw me into a whole, I'm not into depression, but into a negative space about who I was, what I was, and what I could do. Now, I spent years criticizing my partner for walking too slowly. Now, I was walking slower than they were. So now, not only was my ego bruised, I was like getting slapped in the face. Now, you're slower than they are. And you've been so critical all your life. So everything, the broken toe was a grand lesson. And not only was it a grand lesson, it was super painful. I used to say, this has got to be worse than pregnancy, even though I've never been pregnant. You know, I just imagined. But it was,
why was it painful?
It was big toe, and it was broken completely. It twisted and bent. Now, I have a phobia about hospitals. So I'm in Las Vegas. I cut up a hotel card. I wrap my toe because that's how I've seen they do it on TV. So I figure, well, what's wrong with that? I'm in Las Vegas, and I've got my toe in a pot of hot ice where my sister's got to run to the ice machine several times so that I can do it. Now, she's really annoyed because the trip was, we'd have two rooms. She'd be able to hang out and party and do all the things she wanted to do. But instead, she's running around getting me Tylenol, finding a wheelchair, and getting me ice for my foot. My sister loves me very much. And every time I mentioned it to her now, she just cracks up. She thinks it's the funniest day of her life. But she wasn't so happy at the time. Well, only because I came down and she'd been waiting in the casino for me. And we'd been drinking wine and gambling. Keep that in Las Vegas. And she's like, where have you been? I'm like, I've broken my toe. And she just laughed her head off. And she said, oh, come on. So I'm there at the slot machine with my toe in ice, drinking wine, trying to ease myself. So you can see, I wasn't in the best mental condition in the beginning.
Did you win anything or not?
No, I didn't win anything.
No.
Yeah, so when I got back to New York, I realized that I had to make some changes, that the way I'd gotten into the situation in the first place was a big message. The pain hadn't gone away particularly, and I still couldn't walk, but now it's back to life. I couldn't work. It was a shame to hobble to my real estate appointment like this. Hey, would you like to buy this $8 million house? It just didn't kind of gel together. And I couldn't run anymore, so all the anger and tension that I used to express through running, I couldn't do that anymore. So I'm walking to the park really slowly, trying to overtake a sprightly elder, which I couldn't, who's going up the hill. And I'm walking slow enough, and to the side, I see Tai Chi. And I'd not seen it before, and obviously it'd been there a while, because there was a teacher, and there were about six or seven men doing the Tai Chi. And I do this to the Tai Chi teacher, which I don't even know why I did it. It was like instinctive. And I said, I'll see you soon. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Just hobble and try and catch that guy you're trying to catch over that hill. I don't know why I did it, but it just came into me. So I'm hobbling. So I'm still hobbling over there. And then around the corner of the other side of the park, so slow, the Tai Chi class is over. The teacher's now down the other side of the park. I see him by himself with a post-it. And it says effort. And he's trying to talk to some stranger to say, could you translate this for me? And I'm like, and I feel this whoosh, which really wasn't a whoosh. It was like a little punch in the back of my shoulder here saying, hey, Marilyn, go and speak to him. This is for you. That's where I felt and hurt. So I went over there and I said, hi, I can teach you English. I thought, I don't know how to teach English, but I can speak English. And he can't speak a lick of English. He can only speak Chinese. So I've got to be able to teach him some English. And you teach me Tai Chi. And that was the exchange on that day. And he said, okay. And that was 10 years ago. And I think I got the better end of the deal because I'm much better at Tai Chi than he is at English. But one thing we did was English in action. It was very joyous. It's like, what color is that dog? What is that squirrel doing on that tree? And he'd have to describe it in English for me. And what I got to explain to him, unlike other English classes, is culture. There's some things you say in China that you do not say in America. Like you don't say to somebody, oh, you look lovely and fat, when you mean in America, wow, you look very healthy today. So it was like making sure that he had the opportunity to be culturally comfortable. One day, I even found him, he called me, he said, and because he didn't speak English, there was a guy called Philip from Sweden, and I did it Tai Chi with him. And he called Philip Filippo. And I said, there is no way I'm going to get that teacher to call me Marilyn Ho. It was just like 10 years ago, you don't want to call anybody a Ho. So I said, just call me M. And that was my name in Tai Chi ever since, because I thought that's easy. So all my students know me as M. And that was almost a personality change at the same time. I wasn't Marilyn anymore. I was somebody else. I was M. I was this other energy. And so that's how I accidentally bumped into Tai Chi. And now I do Tai Chi pretty much daily for an hour and 15 minutes. It's pretty amazing doing it with Chinese people who are over 70 as the core base, because culturally they don't know what's going on, no aggravation. They don't know the politics. They don't have the holidays. To them, it's another wonderful day in the park for Tai Chi without all the stuff around it that we carry around as Westerners, let's say, on a day-to-day basis, the news, the phone, the emails, the this, that. They don't have that. My teacher for the past 10 years has lived by a routine. He does Tai Chi. He takes a shower. He makes lunch. He takes a nap. He studies English. He has dinner. And that is every day. Tuesday mornings is shopping. We don't do Tai Chi on that day, or I'll teach the class. So I have learned something from them about calm rhythm. And there are so many stories to tell in Tai Chi, and that'll be in the book that I'm writing on how anyone can access Tai Chi within and without, and how amazing it is. And for somebody who was extremely angry like me, I do get on with people, but I wasn't particularly open. Tai Chi has made me more open. And I've had many anger situations in the middle of Tai Chi. Someone will walk through Tai Chi and I'll call them an AO. But now it's gotten better and better, and I allow people to walk through. Occasionally, I call an adult an idiot, but the children I allow, the animals I allow, and there is a video that I have of a relationship with a squirrel that comes to Tai Chi and runs up my knee, and I give it a nut, and I'll add that, and you can put that there. And it comes up, and it stands like this to say, hey, hi, Marilyn. And then it comes, and it takes the nut, and it goes, and it eats the nut. So, and many, many things like that. So my natural spirit has been able to come to the surface, and the manufactured parts of myself are breaking away. So that's what Tai Chi has given me for the most part.
Wow. Now, I don't know if you want to answer this, but the anger, I know angry people. Now, if you do the Joe Dispenza, it's like a habit. It's an addiction or a habit. I mean, I have my own frustration was one for the past few weeks. And you just get used to it. Was there something in particular that you were angry about? Or was just
I think basically I come from an angry childhood. My mom was very angry. Very angry. Oh. And basically, you know, if you're a child in an angry environment, I think my sisters had different relationships because they're different generations. And I think all siblings have the same mother, but a different relationship to their mother. My mother was in, you know, was young. She was an immigrant. I think she came from a pretty angry childhood. And she worked it out through her children, her life. And, you know, it came, it touched us. And it touched us. And if the habit of survival of a parent is to fight as opposed to talk, that habit of the child is to fight as opposed to talk. So we have to relearn things. Now, my father was very the opposite. That's why I have access to Tai Chi. If I was just my mother's child, probably not. But I'm my father's child, too. My father came from a semi-privileged family and was very open, very gentle, very sweet, and took care of me. So I have both sides of the fence in the opposite genders, which normally occur. So I have the really super gentle father and the kind of crazy angry mother. You know, and that, I mean, in that way, my father's priceless. So definitely something I grew up with, something I've had, something I've considered strength, something that's been my survival mechanism, all those things.
Yeah, so it probably served you. So, but when you broke the toe in Las Vegas and you were, you know, mad because he changed the room or the partner changed the room, was that the first time you were aware of the anger?
No. I think that it was just, I was acting carelessly with it. I was now so in it that it had me as opposed to me having it. And that meant that it was the only emotional resource I knew at that moment to go to. So it was like, if it's a survival mechanism, you're going to go to your survival mechanism. And if your tendency, you know, I come from South London, Brixton. We pride ourselves on a certain, like, it's like the Boston boys or the, you know, a certain vibe, the Valley girls. There's a thing. We are pretty strong and like generally stick up for ourselves and don't take a lot of guff, as they say. So that kind of thing.
So you wouldn't have trouble speaking?
No, but there is things that one doesn't ask for themselves that they need to. Like if you come from an angry space, you're not necessarily going to ask for a certain level of gentleness. You know what I mean? There are things I need that I hadn't asked for emotionally.
Right.
And you can ask for them, but I haven't accessed them in myself. What I discover is you can ask, but you have to have access that yourself too. You have to know that that is an inner strength. It is an inner sense of self. It comes from the inside. It doesn't actually come from outside. And yeah, you can have many tools like therapy or whatever, groups, discussions, journaling, whatever, to help one pull those things out. But ultimately, you're pulling those things out from yourself. It's not somebody saying, this is how it is, and this is who you are, and this is, you know, how you do it, necessarily, unless you're driving a car mechanical, and we're not that mechanical. So it's an internal exploration and an external exploration, but ultimately it's an inner power that you're pulling forth that I believe we all have access to. And that is the that brings us full circle to Tai Chi again, because Tai Chi is the access. So you have the Tai Chi symbol, you know, the yin and the yang. You have the yin, the female, which is dark, passive, warm. And in there you have a little circle. That's the male energy. And then the other side is all male. It's light, it's dry, it's expansive. And in the center of it, you have a little bit of the female. So they're never separate apart from each other. Inside of each of us is a little bit of that. In a little bit of the female, there's a tiny or big part of maleness. And in the female, there's a little bit or tiny big part of the maleness, and those things balance, and they're contradictory, but they're also harmonious. And that's life. Mm-hmm. Life is contradictory, and how do we find the harmony in life? In so many contradictions. Has to come from within, because life is not going to provide that unless you're in nature. Nature, I believe, is the true, can help with that.
All right. So when you hurt your toe and you went over to the man and you said, here's the deal. I'll teach you English. You teach me Tai Chi. Like, when did you start? That day?
Couple of days. And what was happening is that there were a lot of older men with him, and I was the only girl. I stood at the back and I just followed. And then I started to do this movement. There's a movement called Wing Song. And everybody in the world loves this movement.
Do it again. We can see it.
Everybody in the world loves this movement. So I say to women, it's like women doing two jobs. Swiping the table and looking in the mirror. So change your hands. So lift down. Yes, Tai Chi. Look in the mirror and wipe the table. Change hands. Yeah. Look in the mirror. And wipe the table. Do it again. Now soften your wrist. Soften, but keep going straight. So I'll do it this way. See.
Looking at my wrinkles of the hair. No.
Mirror.
Right.
Look in the mirror.
Wipe table.
Okay. Mirror.
Wipe the table.
And I've got wrinkles in my wrist too. Wipe the table. So
I hope you're trying this at home if you're not driving.
And there'll be a demonstration, like a 30-second demonstration video that you'll be able to access, and your viewers can do it in their own time. So I was with a bunch of guys, and they knew every name of every move. I didn't know anything. And it's like, Wing Song, whip, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know. And that's why I've done it in the Maryland way that you got. You understood. If I'd said to you, Wing Song, you're like, oh, yeah. But if I say mirror and wipe the table, you can get that structurally. Tai Chi is very complicated structurally. Because our bodies don't move that way. And you can even do it with one hand. Do one hand. Just feel the flow. Just move this bit. So, move that. So let that move and let your fingers move last. And just do this up and down in front of your face. Up and down. Slower. Slower. All right, wow. So time has changed. You feel a little shift in the energy of your time? Everything changed.
Yes. Slower. Oh, my God.
Even slower, and you'll feel the shift. Now, you're still operating in the same space-time as everybody else, but you're moving in different space-time. And when you're doing Tai Chi like this, the world's moving very fast around you, but everything slows down for you. Everything.
Wow. I hope you're trying this at home. It's amazing.
Just feel that. And that, what you're feeling in your palm right now, is energy. You have to remember the physics of the universe. There's only about 10% that you can actually see that is matter. All around you exists 90%. The question is, what is that 90%?
It's light. Wait, say that again.
That's good. That's the meditation.
About the 90%.
The matter consists of 100% of a thing, right? Of a thing. What we can see with our eyes, what we can tap on the table, what we can touch in our body is less than 10% of matter. So what is in that other 90% moving around our bodies, moving around space inside our bodies? That is what you get to access. Energy and chi. Wow.
So that's why
because
you're getting the other matter.
Remember, the most powerful energy in the world is the most gentle, and the most hard energy is the most vicious. So the most powerful one, you can't even feel, is that powerful. So we have access to that in Tai Chi, and Tai Chi's been around for thousands of years and was formed 600 years ago when a Buddhist monk saw a mockingjay and a snake having a fight in the yard and created Tai Chi 600 years ago. And those forms like that, they're all part of nature in relation to nature and animals.
So how did that help? What was it? A snake
and a magpie. They were in a fight. So a magpie will be doing this. And a snake will be doing this. And the magpie will be moving like this. And they'll be doing this. And they'll be doing this. And how does it leave that? And it becomes a martial art. But then it was the monks took hold of it and made it into a meditative martial art.
So when you said the most powerful gentlest. Is the gentle
force in the world. The most powerful is the gentlest force in the world. Think about breathing. Think we can't have life without oxygen. But can you hold oxygen, Hillary? Where is it? Can you feel it? You can feel it sometimes when you breathe. You can feel it when the breeze blows, but it's around us all the time.
So, but if I'm angry and I go like this, isn't that more powerful than the gentle?
Well, think of the world. I mean, it's philosophical, like, is love more powerful than war? Because love is gentle. War is hard.
Right.
But I would say that love is the most powerful force in the world. And with love, you can overcome war. But with war, you can't overcome love.
Right. I had no idea.
This is cool. Can we do some more?
I'm working on, everyone, a 2-minute inner Tai Chi meditation.
Yes.
All right. Let me give you a couple of instructions before we go. I'm glad you've got a glass of water next to you. It'd be nice to have a glass of water next to you for the end of this. You'll have your eyes closed throughout. But I'm going to ask you to walk and look at things. But you're going to do that with your eyes closed. You're going to do that in your mind. You're going to use your imagination. All right. And if you don't think you have an imagination, you do, because you just imagined you didn't have an imagination. So
I would just want to say,
yes,
you're driving,
holding your baby, driving a car, operating dangerous machinery, and doing anything you should not be doing at this moment that would cause you injury or harm, do not do it. Do it when you get home after you've done all those fun things.
Yeah.
All right. Good. We'll begin.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is just sit comfortably, sit up, kind of relax your legs and put your hands on your knees. Close your eyes. Take three breaths, and you're going to hear my voice throughout this meditation. So relax your shoulders. This moment is for you. This is 2 minutes where you get to have this time just for you. One deep breath, breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Hold it a little bit. Breathe out. Breathe in. Hold it. Big breathe out and relax. Want you to, you're in a park. Look around. It's a beautiful park. It's gorgeous. There's no one around and it's really warm. Everything is so remarkably green. I haven't seen such greenness in a long time. You notice a big, beautiful tree ahead of you with a bench on a swing. Strong bench, strong tree. You walk over to it and you sit on the bench and you swing just a little bit for a moment. You look at the trees and you feel the warmth on the side of your face. Breathe in and breathe out. Take a breath. Let everything go. Take your hands and feel the wooden slats of the bench. They're so smooth and warm. Take another breath. Stand up and walk slowly. Your feet are on the ground and it's soft and it's warm. And you notice to your left and your right flowers, colors, poppies, lilies, roses. Wow, flowers you've not seen before, all naturally blowing in the wind. And then you look up and you look ahead and there is the ocean, as wide as it can be. From one corner all the way to the next. Look at the blue. Look at the rippling. Look at the clear turquoise sky. And look up and hold your hands up to the sky and hold your palms up to the sky. And smile and say, thank you. Thank you, thank you. And bring that warmth from the sun to your heart and smile and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And put your arms to your side, look at the ocean again, look at the flowers and turn and walk back to that bench slowly, feeling the warmth in your feet, feeling comforted for one moment. Turn and sit on that bench, and next to you is a beautiful glass, and in it is lemonade. Pick it up. Take a sip. Oh, wow. Savor it. Take another. Put the glass down on the bench. Take a deep breath. And open your eyes. Where did you go, Hillary? Drink a sip of that water. Drink a sip of the water to remind you of the lemonade that you had. And what you have inside.
Wow. Well, I wasn't here. We weren't recording a show.
And you feel a bit calmer, feel a little bit more still?
Almost like I had an out-of-body experience, you know, like I'm not here right now.
Tai Chi does that for you. And it's outer and inner. So imagine moving your body like we did, having that experience and being surrounded by nature. So all the energy. So Tai Chi heals so many parts of the body. It's great for us in the West because it's stress reduction, mind calming, depression reduction. You know, they've done studies in universities, big universities, saying that Tai Chi is the almost a perfect exercise because it works on all your joints. So when I was a runner, my joints used to crick all the time. Even though I was really athletic and stuff, my joints would crick, they would ache, you know what I mean? And I'd have to stretch. But with Tai Chi, that's not the case. Tai Chi balanced. In the beginning, Tai Chi was painful because I'd been limping like this. And anybody with an injury knows that that body, my side hurts and you have to heal that. But that body's, that side's been compensating for the entire time. So that body's out. Right. Tai Chi is about balance. So for a while, it worked up my foot to my knee, to my hip, to my shoulder, to that side. And then this side started balancing, the knee, then that. And then now, I actually feel like I'm healthier than I was when I was running. Certainly, obviously, more patient and less angry. And more willing to be open with others in the sense that I share with others and I, on an ongoing basis, learning how to be more loving. And I'll tell you something. I had an interesting experience because I've been doing this a while. Last week, where I just had this overwhelming sense of love, which for someone who's been angry all the time is quite challenging. You know, this overwhelming sense of openness and love. So I know that something is growing there. I don't know what it is. It's an ongoing process. And that's the beauty of Tai Chi. When people come to Tai Chi, they say, oh, can I learn this really quick? Or can I do this really quick? I say, one thing you need to know about Tai Chi, it's a forever practice.
All right, Marilyn, we need to take our commercial break and then we'll be right back. So hold on to that thought. I didn't want to interrupt you, but it was so fascinating. Okay, we'll be right back.
Has social-emotional learning become just one more thing on your teachers' plates? Do teachers and students both find it boring and ineffective? Then bring Kikori to your school. Kikori transforms classrooms through experiential SEL activities that help students play, reflect, connect, and grow. Even better, students say it's more fun than recess. Schedule a no-obligation conversation at kikoriapp.com/bringkikori. K-I-K-O-R-I.
Do you ever feel like you can't say what you really want to say? Or that you're stuck or in a holding pattern in your relationships, career, personal life, or finances? Are there things you want in life that you've given up on? Are you resigned that this is as good as it's going to get? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Hillary Burns, host of the Getting Real with Hillary Show, has the solution you need. Hillary is a published author of 3 books and has a program called the Getting Real Process. This process frees you from what is holding you back, allowing you to create a life you love. Don't believe it? It is hard to believe that it could work, isn't it? The proof is that hundreds of Hillary's clients have used the Getting Real Process and are now free to create whatever they want in relationships, career, finances, enjoying life, or just loving themselves more. So go to RealTalkWithHillary.com and order Hillary's book, Real Talk, and set up a conversation.
And thank you, as always, to our sponsor, KikoriApp.com. It's You can call it Kokori. It's an experiential social emotional learning platform which brings play to our children in a way that connects them. It sounds like Tai Chi, actually. It connects them, they reflect, they connect, and they grow. And it's a very gentle, you know, there's SEL requirements. This is a very gentle way to bring it into your schools. You can go to kokoriapp.com and check it out. It's really phenomenal. You can bring it to your summer programs. You could start it in the fall. And then I'll go real quickly through my books because we want to bring Marilyn back. But anyway, this one is about speaking up, real talk, if you have trouble. It's how to say the things you've never said so you can have the things you've always wanted. Or you could do Tai Chi too. This one, Your Bullshit is Your Blessing. These are about the two sides of life, which I had. I kind of was stuck on the dark side for a while, and I started developing techniques to get over to the fun side. And I put them in a book in case anybody else finds themselves there. And this was my very first book, The Second Piece of French Toast. If marriage was my dream, why was I numbing myself? Well, I certainly learned and went back to creating a life I love. And you can find all of them on Amazon, and they're, you know, pick the one you want and have a look. And now I'm going to bring back Marilyn Fleming. All right. I'm going to keep us back because I think we can see our movements better this way. So, okay. So you were talking about, you had that experience of love.
Right.
And was that uncomfortable, or do you think you've grown into it now?
Definitely uncomfortable. But what I wanted to go back to what you said about children and love. I just want to connect it to what you said about children.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm so lucky in the sense with my Tai Chi, because I do it at a certain time every morning where there's not really a lot of adults. The dogs, walkers have gone, the children come out to play with the school. So there's always children around, always. And they love Tai Chi. They'll stand in their school right over where the kids are playing in the backyard, and they'll stand like this. They're so great. They make me cry. And they'll go like this, and then they'll do this, and they'll follow along.
Yeah, and they're imitating
you. They stand like they're in school class. They're like, and they're ready, and they just follow along all the time and like this. And I go like this to them at the end when the teachers are calling like this, and they do the same thing. Children are amazing. And every time parents are bringing, I've noticed children to, you know, walk. Children are mesmerized. You know why? Because it's the slowest thing in the world that they can see, apart from nature. Who else in their life? It's moving like this. They're like, what are they doing? And their parents always say, they're doing Tai Chi. And they're like, oh. And then the children will start squatting. Like, you know, in their past lives, they were Tai Chi masters. They're already in the Tai Chi squat doing the work. Like, and I have to bow to them. Like I honor the vision of what it is. I bow to them and say, yes, you're my teacher. So, like, children are, I mean, Tai Chi and children are practically the same.
Now, so when you're in the park, are you leading a class?
We have what we call,
what is it?
People just come, and people can come, but we have a working group that always come together. And we have certain rules, like it's not Western rule. We start between 10:15. We don't talk theater rules, no phone, blah, 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 all that. And then absolutely no talking through the practice. No talking, just following. That way you're with yourself 100% of the time and your mind. And as you can see from the pictures that I'll show you right now, those are the people, different groups of people that we've worked with, different classes. And we always have as you see this picture with the dog, Tai Chi dog. We always have a Tai Chi dog. Everybody has in the Tai Chi group has a dog, and the dog stays with us through the whole Tai Chi program. So the group.
So I think you have to get the pictures again because
I'll put them in.
Okay, you have them. Okay, good. Okay. So So when you just led us through that meditation, you were talking. Obviously, the Tai Chi is different because if you say there's no talking.
Well, that's the point.
Well, you wouldn't have your eyes closed because you have to see what's
going on. I did meet. There are other martial art masters in the park. And he says, Marilyn, have you done your Tai Chi with your eyes closed yet? I said, no. So I tried it the other day. And it's difficult because you have to stay balanced and do the movements, but your eyes are closed. So that meditative state is heightened because there's no distractions on the outside. What we did in that exercise just a moment ago was to get the mind to really just empty enough for us to do the movements and for you to, then something else occurs. Once you do the movements, your mind's empty, you do the movements, then something else comes up. Something hidden, maybe.
So, okay. So when you're learning, you said you were in the back, you were just watching, and then you're just imitating just whatever he does.
Just following. And then,
but when you were saying, whatever the movement was called, that they knew it, but he wasn't.
He couldn't speak a word of Chinese. He was shy. He didn't give anybody eye contact. He didn't talk to anyone. He quickly did his Tai Chi and shuffled off home. He was terrified of the world that was America, you know, because he said.
But people were following him.
Yeah, that the practice is about following. It's following. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I followed for a long time, and then I got, as they say, betterer and betterer. And then the guys started dropping off. And then it ended up being only me and Philip. And then Philip dropped off. And Philip said to my teacher that M is good. And that's when me and my teacher off the bat spent the last 9 years alone, more or less, and now we have groups that follow us. And he taught me through grunts. So I learned this through... So now I have to use all my core strength. So now I know it's about core strength. It's not la 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 la, because this on your face could break your nose. Done right, we just do it slowly because it's a kung fu. But if I was to speed that up massively, it's the same move. It's just done by the monks or the fighters. You know what I mean? And it's still the same thing. And what we're doing is the meditation. My teacher's all about the meditation of it, the stress relief, the health benefits, the exchange of air. I mean, he's 75 and he still does. His hair is still black. Okay. I know. I'm jealous.
Wow.
And we have an older lady who apparently comes from the same town as him. And she looks like a 12-year-old and she's 85. Her hair is still black. And they do the Tai Chi, the whole form, which takes an hour and a half, an hour and 15 minutes of nonstop silent movement of your joints, of lifting legs, of up, down, push, turn, pull, push, like this. But remember, I'm doing this. So the fact that I just, let's even doing with this, we have an exercise like this. It's a Qigong exercise. So you put your hands out. Turn your thumb down. Yeah, your hand straight out. Turn it back up. Thumb in, roll. And pull as if you were pulling a thumb in. And roll, not hard in, like a light. See, I've got a looseness in my hand here. And then pull that in as if you were pulling a tight rope. Tighter, hard, like it was really hard to pull. Now push as if you were pushing your fist against a wall and you can't really push it. All right, relax. Do you feel like you move the muscle in your arm more than you normally do just from that move? Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's a way to work a muscle without having the damaging pulling and pushing of hard things, the harshness of calisthenics, because a lot of people's joints aren't that supple. A lot of the men who come to think can't put their wrist back here because their bones are so hard and their knees, where they did athletics for so long, are really sore and hurt them a lot. So, and you know, I had a lot of people with shoulder issues who come because the crouching, all that sort of stuff. And some people who just like the time and the freedom that it gives. Like in the meditation that we just did, an hour of Tai Chi, you get that sense when you leave, physically, emotionally, and mentally. We did a lot of emotional, mental, but you can clear in all those energies.
So, okay, my father used to do something with Mr. Gu, who would come, he would come to Westport, and these people would go. Now, my father's thing was, it was a lot of shaking, so I don't know if it was the same thing, but people who had chronic diseases like lupus, and I know there was at least one, you know, if she didn't do it, she was sick and couldn't get out of bed. If she did it, she was fine. It's, I don't know if it's the same thing, but it sounds
it's,
like
it's the relationship. It's a relate. It's right? Qigong. Sounds like he was doing Qigong. Yeah. So Qigong, yeah, you'll see a lot of people when they're doing Qigong. Oh, dude.
Yeah, there was a lot of. Oh.
Oh, they'll do. Oh, they do. And we know that trampolines and that form of energy, where you're shaking your body, it moves all the cells in your body. It's really like toning them inside without that heavy, you know, we got to run, we got to pull weights.
Yeah.
Natural. And I think the U.S. Marines back in the day and in schools, they used to have trampolines because trampolines, when you jump, the aerodynamics, there's a place where the gravity leaves the body. Mm-hmm. And it comes down in a soft way, but because you're on a trampoline, but what it's doing is it's shaking up all the cells and all the glands, and it's strengthening the organs, and it's toning the muscles. So shaking would do the same thing.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, believe it or not, we have about 4 minutes left.
So,
yeah. What'd you like to do for the
I just want to remind everybody of the benefits of Tai Chi. And that it's accessible to all ages. You can do it more or less anywhere. You don't need expensive equipment. You can put on any slow piece of music you like. You can move to, what I would suggest is you do your own Tai Chi for a moment in terms of moving your body slowly in a way you haven't moved it before. Just feel it. Get comfortable with your own, what I call, inner beauty. And then I will be providing a landing page with a Google form for anybody who'd like some more information. I will have a website where there'll be small 1-minute meditations and Tai Chi movement meditations for people to access at any point. And do with your children, please. Even your animals might get into it. Who knows? And it offers so many stress reduction benefits. Improve strength. Let's see. I've got a list of things that it could provide for you. Stress reduction, strength, health, calmness, alleviation of depressive symptoms, transformation of anger.
Anger.
peace. Connection with nature again, getting back to our natural state of being, essentially an opportunity to get back to that, even if it's for a minute a day. We deserve a minute a day where we are naturally able to be in our own sense of ourselves, feel our own joy, feel our own beauty, and connect to the greater nature that is around us that we all have access to. And what better time to go at it? That's what I think.
Awesome. Okay, now we still have a couple of minutes. So let's say 5 years from now, your vision takes hold. People are doing Tai Chi. I can already feel it.
I love that.
How do you see the world?
Yes, my vision of the world in 5 years with people who interact with Tai Chi, but we judge each other. We don't have judgment. We connect with each other on the content of our character. We lead with love. We respect each other for just being human beings and to be able to coexist with each other. We find our common unity. We find alternative ways to use and to be in harmony with nature. We start farming organically. We connect children to nature and their own nature, that they're natural, that there's nothing wrong with them, and they don't have to be fixed and changed. They come out good. They come out perfect. Right, and stop breaking children. And that we have an idea of ourselves as human beings as more than what we see. We have an idea that we're meant for more, that we're evolved to create life that is better for those to come and in the moment, and that we have access to do that now. There's nothing that we're missing. There's nothing that we have to find. We just have to be honest with ourselves who we want to be and be that and have the courage to be that. And I say that for myself too, because I don't always have the courage to be that. And I really appreciate you having me on this podcast, because as I said to you in the beginning, I almost never am on camera. So I appreciate that. I've had many a fight with photographers taking films with me in Tai Chi. So there you go. And I hope that it does make a difference, because it certainly made a difference to me. And I appreciate the time that you gave me here to share.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn.
Thank you, Hillary. Gift. You certainly gave me a gift today, and I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thank you for watching this episode. I started getting real with Hillary when I discovered that I was a people-pleasing, pleasant phony, and wanted to be more of my real self. We can grow together. If you will like the show, subscribe to my channel, and share this episode with your friends and family so that we can have a world that's more real.